This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
I'm Chris Martin, and this is Something Wild. I recently paid a visit to Maria Colby at Wings of the Dawn, a wildlife rehabilitation center in Henniker. Maria is the organization's director.
Wings is a nonprofit, and we are all volunteers. We try to provide the best possible care for each and every animal that comes into Wings.
The name may sound like they only work with birds, but that's not the case.
When I first started volunteering at Wings, we only did birds. When I took Wings over, we started taking in mammals.
What's the percentage of birds to mammals, generally?
I do between 400 and 500 birds a year, and about 250 to 300 mammals a year.
And those range from chipmunks to deer, bobcat?
Yeah, bobcat, yeah.
She showed me around the facility, introducing me to some of the animals currently in her care.
This cardinal.
I've been hearing the cardinal.
Yeah, there he goes. I've got pigeon, I've got crow, I've got flying squirrel, red-tailed hawk.
Red-tail?
You know, he's in pain, so we're managing the pain with medication.
And that's probably a car strike, too?
That was a car strike. The woman saw it get hit last night and knew of me and brought it in. There's a barred owl in there, and you'll see plenty of birds.
I did see plenty of birds, housed in two large barns behind the main building.
I remember coming to see you last year. And it was a peak time for barred owl injuries from car strikes. And you had 20 barred owls all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Is that seasonal? Is that come and go time?
Yes, it is seasonal. During the winter time, it's really difficult for the owls to be getting their food to begin with because of snow cover. And especially difficult some years when we have ice and then snow, and they're starving to death down there, and the only clear spot for them are roadways, so they are getting injured and they are starving.
Maria joined Wings of the Dawn about 28 years ago as a volunteer. At the time, she was a student at New England College.
The instructor had started Wings along with Cynthia Bross. It was Eleanor Zabowski, asked me if I wanted to volunteer, so I said, I think I might like something like that. Because I was in the medical background, emergency medicine, I thought I could use my skills for the wildlife.
The fact that you have, hundreds of animals that come through here in a year,
mm-hmm.
and the goal is to release them back to the wild, is that right?
That's correct. I'd say it's about 60% of the animals that come in here get released back to the wild again.
When you release them back to the wild, you oftentimes have no idea what will befall them next, right?
That's correct, yes. Given the animal a second chance is the way I look at it, to go back out into the wild again, where they, if I wasn't there to give them that second chance, it would most likely be dead.
I've been paying attention to the loon rescues that have happened this winter on the ice as the lakes freeze in finally. And I know some of those have come through here on their way to being released of the ocean.
Yes.
You've seen a few of those this winter?
Yes, I have. Two in particular that I have seen this year came in, one from the Dover area and the other one from Stoddard Lake. The one from Stoddard Lake was wonderful because it was a loon that had lead, and we successfully chelated, treated the loon so it could, the lead was removed from its system
chemically.
And returned back to the wild.
Yeah. How often do you know with certainty that your animal has succeeded as a result? You have some cases of that you can think of?
Well, a couple of the peregrine falcons, I think, that we have banded. That's the only way we can tell.
I brought you a picture of one.
Oh.
This is a bird. This is a peregrine that you treated in 2006. It was found in Lancaster, New Hampshire. It's a 3-year-old bird at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we released it up in Milan, up in the North Country, close to where it was found, but not exactly. And then it was 6 years after we released that bird until this picture came in from Berlin.
Wow, amazing.
but that's exceptional, right? You rarely get proof positive
that's
that
correct.
Your animals have survived.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited that you want to see. I'm very pleased that this bird did make it. That, you know, I gave it the opportunity to, be out there again.
And clearly
living.
This one did, because it survived six years after your intervention. It was still out there doing its thing, which means basically that was definitely a success.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I'll see animals here for a couple of weeks afterwards that I have released, because I do feed, what I call back feed. And, you know, then they disperse. But the only way you can tell is by actually banding the bird.
I asked Maria what happens to the animals that cannot be released back into the wild.
Okay, by law, I have to euthanize them. They have lived, you know, as an adult, free. You should put them in captivity. They're not suited to be in captivity.
And the work you do is not something just anybody can do. You have both state and federal permits that allow you to work with these animals. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. And there are standards that I have to meet with the animals. Cage size, a vet has to sponsor you, and, you know, and there are certain skill sets that you should have as a rehabilitator.
And there's a federation of wildlife rehabbers throughout the country and throughout North America, I guess throughout the world, right?
Yes.
And they have certain standards, and you try to conform to those standards.
That's correct.
As a matter of course, right?
Yes. Yeah. New Hampshire Fish and Game, to get your permit, you need to meet the standards of the International Wildlife Rehabilitation Council.
It's a demanding job, and while Maria does the lion's share of the work, she can't do it all alone.
During the winter time, I have 3 volunteers. During the summertime, I have more. It changes every year, the number of volunteers. Most of the volunteers, what they do is clean, and that's a very important job, is cleaning and the animals and making sure that they're fed.
In addition to volunteers, Maria has a network of organizations she can turn to for assistance.
I work closely with Weir Animal Hospital, DCA Caves in Concord. I talk with other rehabbers. I go to conferences out of state to meet up with other rehabbers and get their ideas. But it's extremely important to network and to, you know, recognize. It's also extremely important to recognize your limitations.
Right, and so there are cases where it's obvious that the animal that's brought in needs veterinary care immediately. Mm-hmm. And then you can turn to who?
Depends on the time of day. Either Weir Animal Hospital or DCA Caves. Some of the vets down there in Concord, you know, they're specialists. You know, for eye injuries, I have a specialist now. Who's, you know, I just call up 20 minutes. It's seen. And before, you know, years ago when rehabbing first started, you know, it was really hard to find somebody who was knowledgeable, you know, to treat the animals.
Even with that assistance, the work is extraordinarily demanding.
It's 24/7. If somebody calls me at 1 in the morning, then the animal is in need of assistance. And I do get up and I do, you know, have the people either bring it to us or I will go get the animal, depending on the situation. You know, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'm there to take care of the animals. I did take a vacation a couple of years ago for a week and a half, and
it wasn't easy.
It was very hard.
It was stressful.
It was very stressful. I had everybody in place. I had trained somebody who was a wildlife rehabilitator, so I had left things with her and a few other people, and it was extremely hard.
That dedication started at an early age.
Where did you get your interest in wildlife?
Wildlife. I think as a young girl growing up in the city of Boston, And I can remember trying to take care of these animals that were injured and not having success, of course.
Did you bring them into the house?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. The things that happen when you're little influence what you do, but you don't realize it at the time how significant they are.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. And you've been giving your life to animals ever since.
Yes. Yeah.
You can hear more of my talk with Maria and see some video from my visit on the Something Wild page at nhpr.org. For Something Wild, I'm Chris Martin. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
Hey folks, this is Something Wild producer Andrew Perella. Just wanting to thank you again, as always, for subscribing and for listening to the Something Wild podcast. We put in a lot of work each week to put these stories together, and we're glad that you enjoy them. We're hoping, in fact, that you enjoy them so much that you'd be willing to put a little money where your ears are. NHPR is the station that produces Something Wild. It's produced at a small station by a small staff, and we need as much help as we can to keep this program rolling, and that's where you come in. If you can kick in $5 or $10 a month, become a sustaining member of Something Wild of New Hampshire Public Radio, we would certainly appreciate it. And as a token of our appreciation, we would like to send you some really cool swag that we've put together. If you like the little Something Wild logo, the designer who designed that also designed the new swag we're giving away this spring. It is a robin wearing headphones. You can get it on a mug for $5 a month. You can get it on a tote for $10 a month. Take a look at nhpr.org/support to see what the design looks like and pick one up for yourself or the Something Wild fan in your life. Thanks again very much for all your help.